Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.
Talking through the promo music. The music is just nothing but music, but I got to acknowledge my Facebook Live crew. These people are always here with me, and, you know, for all you that are listening to the show on the Facebook Live, you know, they hold a whole nother side show over there. You know, I mean, they get down deep in the topic, and that's a whole separate discussion that's relevant to what we're talking about. For those of you that are just tuning in, you're trying to find me, you're wondering, what am I all about? Is this guy really a police officer? Yes, I'm an active police officer. I'm not fired. I'm not fired and disgruntled. I'm not retired and now decide it's safe to talk. You know, I go to work, I do my job, I take care of the people in my city, and I take care of my department. But at the same time, I see a lot of things in the profession that aren't good, that aren't right, that need to change, and these are the stories that have been told in some of the disenfranchised neighborhoods generation after generation. These are things that the Department of Justice has Johnny come lately to, and some of us are living through this stuff every day. This show is unique. If you call in here, 646-716-4621, and you press 1 to get on, when you come on, you're not limited to a 10-second soundbite. You're in the discussion. This is the barbershop. This is where we keep it real. I will caution some people, this is not your grandfather's radio show. On this show, we keep it real. You will hear colorful metaphors or expletives, or if you just want to call it what it is. Sometimes you're going to hear cuss words because people on here that call in are not always going to be people with PhDs and commas and a bunch of letters behind their name. They're not always going to be preachers or politicians or police officers. They're going to be people who are living under the same conditions that we're talking about every week on this show that are frustrated, that have to deal with a culture or a profession that some of them feel they're constantly victimized by. Now, I can't say that they're wrong for feeling that way. So on here, we pick our topics and we'll get in everybody's ass on here. I don't care if you're black, white, rich, poor, gay, straight. It doesn't matter. On this show, we keep it real and we take it there and we keep it there because when we have that hard discussion and we have a diverse following, everybody's getting out how they feel. Nobody's cutting anybody down. Nobody's saying, you know, well, you're wrong and I'm right. On here, you know, you can have an opinion. Opinions are great. They're great. But when I ask you, what is your opinion based on? It can't be based on but two things, either experience or fact. If it's not based on experience and it's not based on fact, it's not even opinion. It's bullshit. Okay? That's just real talk. That's how we do this right here. Now, you can call up here. I don't care if you're a crack addict in the back alley with an Obama phone and a Wi-Fi connection. When you call up here and you say, you know what, I use opioids. I use crack. I use weed. I've been to prison. I've been a prostitute. I've been released. Preach to us. Tell us how it is, because though none of us who haven't done it, we don't know. And then some of the people who host the big events and come out on stage and speak to these issues that these people live through, you know what? You need to take a back seat. And when you get back there, get out a pen and take some notes, because America is not going to come out of this conflict between the police and the community until they first understand you have to recognize and acknowledge the least, the people who have been through what we're all talking about, and give them the platform. Sit your ass down in your suit and tie and your gator shoes. Sit down. Let somebody who's been through something stand up and tell you what it's like. Let them celebrate the fact that they came out of it, and oftentimes they came out of it without the help of all of us so-called good people. Hello, preachers. Hello, rabbis. Hello, coaches. Hello, politicians. These people came out through hard times and through suffering. Oftentimes, they came out of it by leaning on the same person that's going through what they're going through that didn't quite make it out. But you know what? When that person who's been through the drug addiction, been through the prisons, been through the gangs, when they get out, guess what they do? They go back and get somebody else out and say, let me show you the way. I wish some of us successful folks could learn from that. Some of us, boy, I tell you what, we got out of Egypt syndrome. We got out of Egypt syndrome. Somebody told us you're free, and we walked out. We said, I ain't never going back. And you know what? We didn't. We didn't look back. We didn't go back, and we didn't think back. We didn't see the guy that's struggling a little bit slower than we are. And most of us in this profession of policing, I don't care if you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter. Most of us that are in this profession, we don't have PhDs. So that's why we're doing this job. It pays good, and it's a good job. In many communities you go into, it's the highest paying job you're going to get without a master's or a PhD in the city. But see, we've forgotten where we came from. We don't know how to go back and get people. Then when we go back to get people, we want to be selective. We want to redeem people, but we got selective redemption. First, let me go back and get the ones that look like me. You know what? You didn't get to where you were without some people who didn't look like you, whether you're black or white, opening up some doors. Now, to the people that say, well, the black community just hates police, I'll tell you what, I'll throw a BS flag on that, because if that were true, there wouldn't be a police officer walking out of these black neighborhoods across America alive. That's a fact. In many instances, the low-income community, the inner-city community, is appreciative of police officers because they know we already got hell in the neighborhood. If it wasn't for you, we'd have more hell. Now, because they're appreciative of their presence does not mean that they trust them. That's a fact. And for those of you, well, they just need to get with the program. All right. Now, see, we just learned this week about numbers, and that's what we're going to talk about today. For those that got scared off, say, he's going to give us a math class. I ain't going to give you a math class. I'm going to give you a real-life class on what's going on in the institution of policing. I'm going to put out my caveat first that I do not speak for the Waco Police Department, the city of Waco, the officers, civilian employees, and citizens of Waco. Everything I say on this show is my personal opinion, and I base it upon my personal and professional experiences. I self-fund this. There's nobody in the city that's paying for this. I pay for it myself. I can give y'all shout-outs and give you props, and if you're trying to do a little business or whatever, I can put anybody on here that I want, and guess what? They can't do nothing about it. That's how we do it. As long as we keep it that way, you don't have to worry about special interests buying off the opinions of what we talk about. We're going to stay real on here. Okay, we're going to talk about the numbers. Statistics. Police statistics are a good thing. I've used them when I would go into bad neighborhoods. I needed statistics and numbers to show me where are we getting the most calls. Where do I need to put my initial effort? If the whole neighborhood's lost, in that neighborhood, what is the block that I need to start at? How many robberies am I having? How many sexual assaults am I having? How many house burglaries, car burglaries, murders, shootings? That's the first place. I need those numbers. I got to get them. These numbers help us guide for resources coming into the police department. You can get grants. You got to prove that you got the numbers that say you need it, and then you produce those numbers. So numbers and statistics are good. However, as we've recently learned, and most police officers that are listening, some that are trolling and some that are just trying to figure me out, you've known it since you got in there. All of this is a numbers game. Those same statistics that can bring more money and more grants to the police department to help the neighborhood can be detrimental to the lowest income that you have in the city, that bad neighborhood, that neighborhood without resources. Those numbers can be counterproductive to good policing and order in those particular neighborhoods. Well, you say, how'd that happen? What do you mean? You just said the numbers were good. Well, when you get a police chief who survives on numbers, not shaking howdy meetings, not how many public appearances he or she makes or how many pizzas they buy for low-income neighborhood, not how many neighborhood meetings they. At the end of the day, people want to know, Chief, what do your numbers look like? Now, this is where the street officers that you guys come in contact with, this is where we get confused. If we got hell on earth And our numbers are high. Everybody from the mayor to the city council people to the chief to the citizens, everybody's screaming at us, get these numbers down. We got to get these numbers down. We got too many murders. We got too many robberies. We got too many rapes. Let's get the numbers down. And that's what we're there for. But what happens when you get those numbers down? What happens when you build that community trust? Now the numbers are way down to where you wanted them. And these officers sit back for a minute and say, good, 5 years of hard work, let me catch my breath. Now I can start giving some warning tickets instead of always having to write a ticket. Maybe the administration will get off my back now. You know, I got to actually search hard to find an arrest. Now where before Stevie Wonder could find an arrest. It was that easy. So then we want to get this grant. Not that we need it. We just want to have this section in the department to look like a big department, to look like, ooh, look at what we got. But you can't get that grant without some numbers. You got to show some numbers to get that grant. So what happens? They come down and say, we need more arrests. The hell are you talking about? We just cleared out all this crime. We don't have the criminals out here. We need more arrests. We need more tickets. Period. More stops, more tickets, more arrests. So now the officers are sitting here stunned. They don't know what to do. They're going to come out and deal with you guys. And like I said, on this show, I'll tell you things about us that you guys don't know. It pisses us off because we're going, you know, I went into this community 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it was. Nobody spoke to me. Today, everybody wants me to stop at their barbecue. Everybody wants to know how I'm doing. If I take vacation, they're calling the department to see if I'm okay. You got that rapport that you wanted. Now you got to go out and victimize or terrorize this community because the mandate has now come down. What brings in these mandates? Well, you better look at your politicians. You all got city councils. Don't blame the chief. Everything is not the chief. Go back and look at your city councils and look at your county commissioners. When somebody comes in and says, we want to put a for-profit prison in here, you got to have numbers to have the prison. Who do you think these numbers come from? They come from the police. Now, some of y'all are going, well, it don't matter to me. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Yeah, it does, too, because guess who lives in that neighborhood that we're coming to? Coming to a neighborhood near you. That's exactly what we do. The mandate has come down, and what they do is the officers won't have a choice because they'll wrap it up in performance reports. You got to meet these standards. They won't say quota. But they'll call out people and try to make other people look bad. They'll say, well, this guy wrote 80 tickets last month, and this guy is the benchmark. This guy is what everybody needs to be. Yeah, he wrote 80 tickets, but his neighborhood got raped with vehicle burglaries and business burglaries because he spent all his time on the side of the road with people and not looking out for folks' property. Do you think that when that citizen woke up the next morning and their car windows are broken out? Or they go to work and find out that their business, a $4,000 glass window's broken out and everything they got in the store is gone, $10,000 worth of stuff gone. Do you think they care how many tickets that officer wrote? See, this is the thing that is aggravating and frustrating to the street officer. The chiefs get blamed with the brunt of this. Hello, city managers. You all hear what I'm saying. That's where the blame needs to go, community. Y'all better find out who your city manager is. You better find out who your assistant city manager is over the police. You better find out if your city council people are bullshitting you or if they're carrying your agenda forward. Don't let these people cut side deals because you're paying for it. You know, we found out in Biscayne, Florida, Biscayne Park, Florida, which is a suburb of Miami, just what happens when police decide we're going to take the numbers the other way.
Shocking story from Biscayne Park, where the former police chief and two officers have been indicted now on criminal charges.
According to prosecutors, the three former officers try to make their job performance look good by cooking the books. Local 10's Leanne Woody Holm is live to explain this one, Leanne.
And all of this at allegedly the expense of a 16-year-old boy. The three officers that are being named in this criminal indictment include the former police chief. Let's take you into these details that have been released today by the U.S. Department of Justice. We understand that the indictment names three former Biscayne Park police officers, including Chief Raimundo Atesiano and former officers Charlie Dayub and Raul Fernandez. were told that they played some role in conspiring to falsely arrest a 16-year-old for four unsolved burglaries. We're told that they did this because they wanted to maintain their arrest record up to 100%, making sure that they were able to show that they were doing a good job of solving crimes in their city. We know that they allegedly conspired against this teenager, essentially trying to frame him and having them construct some sort of false narrative. Now, this is an excerpt from the release today. It says, quote, the indictment alleges that Atesiano, as the Biscayne Park police chief, caused and encouraged officers to knowingly arrest the minor without a legitimate basis in order to maintain a fictitious 100% clearance rate of reported burglaries. It goes on to say that they did have prior knowledge. They knew that there was no evidence and no lawful basis to arrest and charge this minor with those crimes. We know that Atesiano did have a hearing in federal court today. He is being held on $50,000 bond, reportedly. The other two officers will have hearings later this month. Reporting live in Biscayne Park, Leanne Morejon, Local 10 News.
And there it is. Now, that's significant. 414 caller, I'm going to get you in 1 second. See, that's the bullshit right there. That's it. And I know some people, here you go, he's cussing. I need a cuss jar. I saved the money, trust me. Every time I do, I put a dollar aside. And so, you know, I give it to a charity or somebody needs it. So I'm paying for my mistakes when y'all hear it come out. But that's the BS right there. See, you wonder why black folks don't trust the police. You wonder, those people need to get with the program. You're angry all the time. You're damn right. It gets old. It gets tiring. This guy is not some officer on the street. This is the damn chief. Corrupt, rotten to the core. They don't need to put that chief in jail. They need to dig a hole beside the jail and put him up under it. Now, what gets me, what's even worse than the chief? Where's Blue Lives Matter? Let me hear something from you. Holler at me. I can't hear you. See, where are all the officers that should be outraged? No, I don't live in Florida. I don't know anything about this department, but I know what happened here, and I know it makes my profession look bad. And all these people, well, you know, you don't like the profession. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't do it. I'm just not going to sit and let some clown tarnish it and not say anything about it. And you hear silence from the police profession on this, silence across the board, from black officers, white officers, whatever. And this chief wanted to target nothing but black people. And you wonder why black people are outraged. You wonder why black people are mistrustful of the police. Hello, black officers that aren't speaking up about this. You wonder why they don't trust you, too. That's why. I'm going to go to my caller from the 414 area code, last 40432. What's going on? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You know, I love your show. This is Adrian from the Robert Drake Network.
Hey, what's going on?
Good. You know, I've been sharing your posts all the time because I always tell people, like, if you ever wanted to hear somebody speak the truth, regardless of what side it is, they should call into your show. They should ask questions. They should engage you in conversation, because what you don't know, you can have an opinion based on what you don't really know. And I love how you go into detail. And you are 100% right of what you're saying, because in the black community, especially in Milwaukee, we've been protesting police officers.
And
we've been saying, well, I live in Milwaukee, so we have been saying exactly what you are saying on the show, that police officers are more concerned with numbers and budget instead of helping out with the community. There's a lot of stuff going on in the communities with the violence that's constantly rising, but it's like people are scared to call the police because of the outcomes that's been happening. People are scared that it might be them when they're trying to call the police officer. So it's a mixed feelings when it comes down to the black community. And you're right. Every time that an officer is caught doing something they're not supposed to do, we don't hear the news conference the same way that if it was a violent act towards someone. We don't hear that. It's always like, oh, for that moment, we'll see it in the news, and then that's it. Or when the trial comes up, that's it. No, they need to continue to shout that out loud. They need to stand with the people. Like, we understand there's a problem. We understand people don't trust the police officer, but let us work towards building a stronger relationship with them. And we understand we have some bad apples. And keep that momentum up. That's all we're asking for.
Yes, ma'am. You know what? And I want you to stay on. Don't hang up now. See, I don't think it's a matter of – I always hear that expression, a few bad apples. And that's a bullshit expression. You know what? The bushel's rotten. And we're working on the apple cart because these guys are not – this is the chief of police that's mandating this. He's a bad apple. But he's telling the whole bushel to go do something. And he's the man that's driving the whole apple cart. You know, I mean, you're right. I mean, I'm going to always call it the way I see it. I'm not going to always be right. And that's when callers will say, well, you're not looking at it from this perspective. You know, we have a very diverse following on it, very diverse audience on here. A lot of progressive people that just want to see the truth for what it is. And there are a lot of white people who want to hear that truth. They don't experience it, but they want to help, and they're trying to figure out, how can I help? And, you know, I got to tell you, it is exhausting. Being black today, it's absolutely exhausting when you leave your house. It is. I mean, you have to worry about, am I going to get the police called on me because I'm walking down the street? Am I going to be able to shop without the police being called? Am I going to be pulled over for no reason? It is mentally draining. And then it does not help when you see incidents like this. And, you know, you being up in Milwaukee, one of my favorite people, y'all voted him out, thank God. That was counterproductive. I've looked at y'all stats, and I was going to do a show on all them deaths that y'all had up in that prison under your last sheriff up there, one of my favorite people.
Uh-huh.
But you guys stepped your game up. Now, let me ask you this, because I'm curious of this. I researched him, and I looked, and I didn't see pictures of him. You know how you go on Google and you Google somebody's name, you go to photos. And I was looking for photos of him interacting with the black community, and every time I saw that, he's on horseback. I didn't see him standing. How much interaction took place up there?
Well, he didn't have a lot of interaction. In fact, that we thought he was biased. Well, we still think he biased. The things that he says on TV, the calling us thugs, I mean, African-American thugs and stuff, it was just like a hatred towards his own type of people. Instead of him trying to police, he was sitting there making it harder. He wasn't speaking out when brutality happened. Oh, well, it's crime. It's a high crime rate. Like, his little smart attitude, it was just like, it was time for him to go. We were so happy he was gone.
Well, I felt sorry for y'all. And I'm going to tell you, when you come here, it's great on here. You know, we give it straight, no chaser. And you're right. The biggest thing that I see right now are these numbers. And you guys take these shows, and when you listen to them, examine your police department where you live and look at these things. These numbers will be used for good or bad. Example, when you got a bad part of town that has some type of aesthetics to it, the river might be there or something, and crime is everywhere. Well, we don't have enough officers and resources to go in there and do anything. We're stretched with manning. It's overtime. It's blah, blah, blah. They throw out all that stuff. But as soon as you get some side investor that comes in and meets, guess what? They know how to go in there and lock up everybody, bring in parks and recreation and trim trees. See, we know how to bring all these resources to bear once it's time to rezone the area and get those people out. Hello, gentrification. But we don't want to send those same resources in there to help the people who got no choice but to live there. And I can find that in Milwaukee. I can find it here in Texas. I can find it in Miami. I can find it in L.A., Philadelphia, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. See, the misallocation resources are controlled by the numbers. How much crime do we have over here? Oh, that's too much. We got to bring those numbers down. Well, now they're down. And now we got to find people in jail to justify this new prison we just built. And if I'm not mistaken, y'all have a for-profit prison up there in Milwaukee.
Yes, we do.
If it's not that, it's just under construction. Yes, ma'am. Now let me ask you this, since that's been there.
So I said, yes, we do have one, and they tend to send African men to those prisons on minor charges for a year.
Because they have to keep the numbers up. Usually on these for-profit prisons, when they write the contracts and the agreements to them, there's a cause in there. It's whether it's an administrative cost, financial fee, there's something. But if it doesn't maintain a particular percentage, then you have to pay a fine every month, which might be $10,000, $25,000, whatever the case may be. If you fall below 85% capacity, I'm just giving that as an example. They'll have a certain number that you got to. If you fall below that, then you have to pay this administrative cost. So the incentive now comes down to the officers. You got to arrest more because this is costing us money. So then, you know, what happens now, we come out, and where are we going to go to make these easy arrests? We're going to go right into the poor community. Mm-hmm. You know, is that what you're seeing up there?
Yes, exactly. And to your point was, sure, Clark, he always asks for more resources. Well, we need more resources. We need more police officers. We need this. That was his whole speech. That was his whole speech every time he's on the news.
Yes, ma'am. And most of Milwaukee's crime was, you know, you have some gangs, but you don't have an overwhelming gang problem. Most of the crime in Milwaukee was based upon poverty. And that's because the city's not addressing the poverty. So if you're not addressing the poverty, which is causing people to commit crimes to have food to eat, you're going to have a crime problem. And it was misguided resources. And it was using the numbers to beef up more police, and you're using the numbers to justify all these state and federal grants that you bring in, and none of your crime got any better. In fact, there were people dying in the jail up there. You had a pregnant woman up there that died in the jail. You had another guy that died in the jail up there of thirst. Really? Thirst? You know, and that's the world that we live in with these statistics. You know, this particular police chief down in Florida, I mean, Raimondo Atticiano, I mean, this guy was willing to pin 4 burglaries on a teenager. 4 burglaries. Told his people, arrest random black people if they had, quote, somewhat of a record. So you could just be walking down the street and get charged with a burglary. Now, thank God he got caught, and thank God he got indicted. But how many more people like that are out there running these departments or running a shift on a department? We're finding out every day that innocent people aren't there. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
I said it's a lot of them. It's like you question everything police officers do, and then you have the people on the other side who, you're always trying to make the police officers look bad. I mean, they don't even call out. When the police officers found guilty of something, they don't even call it out. They thought, they shouldn't have been committing a crime, and this would have never happened. So it's always an excuse on the person who has been victimized regardless of the outcome. It's like if we need to focus on the real thing. Like, there are cops out there committing crimes. The reason why we feel this way is because we are seeing it, and people are constantly making excuses. And like you said about the young pregnant lady who died, there was somebody else who died in a prison up here recently, and the news don't even give you that news feed at all. They rarely speak about people dying in these prisons.
Well, because you know what? Honestly, you got a group of folks out here that don't give a damn. It ain't them. So they don't care. And a lot of them can't see that it could be them. You know, even officers. You know, we're safe in our uniforms and we're safe in our towns, and everybody knows us. But when you take that uniform off and you go somewhere else, you can be Tamir Rice, Terrence Crutcher, Austin Sterling, Philando Castile, in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. And that's what drives me, is the fact that my profession, that I love what I do. I'm not anti-police. I love what I do. I'm sick and tired of my profession being drugged through the mud, and the International Chiefs of Police Association is quiet. The Fraternal Order of Police is quiet. When these people make our profession look bad, you got all these folks with these positions that sit on their ass and do nothing. Then you got groups that are so selective in size. They want to be selectively outraged. Blue Lives Matter doesn't want to speak up until something happens to an officer, but when officers are out here victimizing the community, you don't hear a word from them. So, you know, I got to throw a BS flag on them. I mean, yes, they support us. They do. But just support what is right. So if you support me as a police officer, then please support the people that I happen to give a damn about and support that are out there every night that I see that don't have nothing. It's nice that you support me, but also go out and support them. I want you to hold on. I'm going to go to my another caller, the 818 area code 5722. What's going on? Good morning.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network. Our broadcast network goes out to 1.5 million households. We have 25 AM and FM radio markets, and we have over 300 winning team members attending the show. And Officer Stan is one of our guys, man. He's really serious about what he do. We really love you. We honor you. And I just want to make a couple comments about some of the things you made. You had said earlier, and I want to give honor to anybody that spoke previously on the show. We support real people doing real things. However, let's really keep it 100. When you look at the population as a whole, we're a small minority of the population. If you look at African-American people as a whole, we're not the whole 100% spectrum. There's more white people than anything. So when we look at the crime and the statistics, it's more white people committing the crimes. I don't understand for the life of me how we get the most focus when we're the smallest percentage of the whole global total population. And with that being said, as being a pastor for over 10 years and being in business for over 20 years, I don't work projects for Lenny Williams, Mike Jones, T.I., Fantasia, the Barack Obama 2008 presidential campaign. This information technology can be used for power. It can be used for wrong. It can be used unknowingly to hurt a lot of people. I had to get off from behind the pulpit because I figured out something. We're constantly diverging negative spirits with these 140 characters, and we're not talking with the right information because we're not doing the research. We're not taking time to pick up a book outside of talking to somebody to find out what's going on. So as y'all listen to the brother Stan speak, he's not speaking out of malice. He's speaking out of the point of, there is an issue in the world today, and we're not helping each other. And even though we help each other, we got to look at when we help, we got to help with the right energy. Only way we're going to make it is being unified, and the only way we're going to get unified if we realize we might have the smallest numbers, we spend the most money, but we got to spend with each other. And when we do spend, we got to spend with the right energy. Just like Brother Stan said, if we're going to spend on these Jordans and this dwop, give that to somebody you see. Don't just throw it out to the March of Dimes. You're giving it to a corporation, and you don't know if you're putting another Bentley in somebody's house that don't deserve to have it. And so the cops out there that's doing your job, great, but there's a lot of cops out there that shot my nephew, you know. So it's not a nice thing when I get in these platforms, but at the same instance, I want to be partial, but I have to say, fuck that. It's not right what's going on, and the winning team, that's why we get on these shows. We're in the trenches. I'm a pastor that's on it every day, all day. I don't sleep. I don't play. Anybody on my winning team know we all are a uniform, an organization. Not everything is going to work, but when it don't work, we don't whine, we don't complain. We ain't got time to protest and hold no signs. We're going to get cash, and that's what we need. If we pull our resources and work together, that's it. If you want to sock it to somebody's pocket, that hurts more than smacking them in the face. You can't cut their check. Make them lose their job. That'll hurt even worse if they get evicted. Well, with that being said, man, I'm moving out the way. I don't want to get on my soapbox, but you saying some real stuff. You got me excited. Good morning.
Nah, brother, you know you're in the barbershop. I'm going to tell you, and now, y'all know how we do it here. When I talk about police, I'm not talking about every officer, so officers, don't get your feelings hurt. You know you better than I do. I'm talking about the profession. And when I talk about preachers, same thing. I got a lot of friends that are preachers. I'm not talking about all of y'all because God didn't call all of y'all to preach. Some of y'all, he said, go to the altar. You went to the pulpit. That being said, America, I go back and say America is culturally conditioned to believe that black is bad, is wrong, is angry, is violent. And it does not help when Sundays people go into churches and they're preached into a perpetual state of hopelessness that they can't get out of their condition without something else. I think that we have lost the ability to empower each other, to say, I'm going to give you some tools that will help you do you. And then when you go do you, you know, maybe you can help me with something over here. And that's in our communities. And when I say our communities, I mean white folks. But I mean, when you get down to the low-income community, I don't care what color anybody is. We no longer...
No, you know what it is? Everybody passing the buck. Don't nobody want to say they wrong. And that's the problem. If you don't know you're wrong, let somebody come to you and tell you wrong. You got some... If I want to get in front of a pulpit, it's 1,500 people in the audience. I know I'm going to get a love offering of $20,000, $30,000. And I'm butt naked. And I'm about to hop in the pulpit, and my armor bearer don't say nothing to me because he's just a yes man. Then I turn around and look at my head choir lady. She don't say nothing to me because she's a yes woman. And I get up in front of everybody, and it's viral. That's my point that I'm making is we don't tell people when we're wrong. And a lot of these people doing what they're doing, man, if they just went and apologized, it wouldn't be no issues at all. So, I mean, I know that you're about to change the world, and that's why we're getting you on radio shows. We're getting you out there because this message is so important. Somebody got to speak for the cops doing it right. Somebody got to speak. Because it ain't always about the negative. It's some positive people out there. People love negative stuff. If I say, this guy got smacked, that goes on to love. And if I say, this woman is actually helping 40,000 kids in China, that's a problem. Nobody wants to help nobody, but at the same time, nobody wants to take the accountability for their actions and what they did. It's crazy, man. This world has changed, and Trump fucked it up. I give it to Trump.
You know what? It is crazy, Pastor, but I'll tell you, you know, a lot of cops, we're not really good, a lot of us, at putting our emotions out there. And, you know, and I'll call out some of the bad things, but I'll tell you, you know, I've seen some good guys that come to work sometime. And they walk out there, and some of them are scared. They're scared because they're now having to live with the reputation that a few bad apples, to use that term, have visited upon all of us, and the community is waiting on somebody to say, I see it, and it's bullshit. This was wrong. And, well, you know, they fell off. No, when they did what they did, they went out from behind the cover of the bag. They went out from that. Stop giving them that protection. You know, they got out of their lane. Let them, whatever happens to them, happens to them. You know, when you're out here, and I look at something like the Walter Scott shooting, and I hear this deafening silence. When I look at Terrence Crutcher's situation up there, and you look at Philando Castile's situation, and you look at Alton Sterling's situation, and you look at Tamir Rice's situation, and then you say, when the hell is it my turn? That's what's scary. And when you don't see an ability for the institution of policing, not every officer, but the institution, to hit the brakes and to say, you know what, we got this messed up. Last night at 3 in the morning, my iPhone said it's time for an update. And we've been policing for the same way ineffectively for over 100 years. We haven't changed a thing. We just dressed it
Correct.
Up a little bit. I don't
Correct.
Blame these officers. I blame these chiefs that are making six figures. That's three with a comma, three behind it, period, 2 cents. That's where the focus needs to go. Stop letting these city councils elect the police chiefs, and you get some candidates in there that you want for police chief, you narrow it down to two or three or whatever, then you know what you do? You get the three that you got, you do a public hearing, you sit them up there. If you got four parts of town, you have four different meetings. You sit them up there, you have your cards, you let the people ask a series of questions, have each candidate answer it, and then you know what you do? You let your citizens vote on the police chief. Let them vote. And like I said on the show before, they might not be a police officer. They might be a civilian with a PhD or a master's in human resource management because the police chief is not a police officer. He's a human resource manager slash politician because he has to be that. So why don't you put some civilians in there that say, I do human resource management. Right here in Waco, we got some civilians somewhere that's managing 5 Walmarts. We're probably 5,000-6,000 employees and doing customer service and handling stock. And they can make it work. So I'm quite sure you can handle a 1,000-man police department. You know, that's the realness. I mean, we've got to break out of the philosophy of policing. What worked 100 years ago is not working. What worked in the 50s, it wasn't working then. And if it's not good for everybody, it's not good for anybody. Not one side. If it's good for rich people or not poor people, it's no good. If it's good for black people or not white people, it's no good. If it's not working for everybody, hello, chiefs, y'all are trolling, write this down. The next time you're making a policy, if it's not good for everybody, it's not good for anybody. because that's where the change is going to have to take place. From the chief to the city managers to the city council to the mayor, that's where the change is going to have to take place. And the citizens, you guys that don't vote, you better start voting. Light people's asses up. Stop letting them run roughshod over you. The rich part of town, they can't vote for once, just like you. But when you stay home and don't vote, they voted twice. And you're going to get the justice you no vote voted for. That's plain and simple. If your churches are doing what it should do in the community, instead of standing on the outside saying, I ain't going to go over there, get inside and ask them, hey, can we try? Have you tried doing this? They may not have tried. They may be scared. But if you come from that hood and you're not scared, take the church out there with you. You know, we all have to work together. Black, if you got white folks in that community, guess what? They're stuck in there just like you are. We're all in this together. We're all in it together. You know, there are some things that are unique to black people. We're sick of having the police called on us for just being black and breathing. We're tired of it. That is something that white folks have got to have that discussion and put that pressure on, because that aspect of not hearing us, but you mark my words, one of these brothers out here, they're going to come up on the wrong watch. And then everybody's going to say, that guy is violent. He's a savage. No, he's tired. Ladies and gentlemen, being black in America today is exhausting. It's tiring. Where are all these black leaders that are all over TV getting paid all this money to stand up there and cheese and smile and drink out of little fake coffee cups they got sitting up there? Then you go out to, back to the suburbs, but you want to come talk about the black condition. Tell the people how exhausting it is. And the only people I see doing that are women. Most of your black women that are on these shows are speaking up on the condition of what it's like to just exist. And it doesn't matter if you're rich. You can be an NFL player. It's exhausting. It's tiring. And this police chief in Florida proved how this system is. And I had a guy tell me last week, well, you know, you're not going to be a favorite among police. I'm not worried about being nobody's favorite. I don't have time for that. You know, I'm 56 years old. I'm too old to worry about who likes me and who doesn't like me. Right is going to be right. Period, point blank. Open to all colors. And that's just the way it's always going to be. And if y'all get in line and in the hood, we need to stop shooting each other. Hello, black folks. I'm talking to us right now. See, everybody been clapping. It's time to go on and get to it. When you're in that alley and you got that gun pointed at another brother, don't tell me what white folks have done to you. White folks are not pulling that trigger. Don't tell me about the old lady that gave you cookies when you were growing up. Now today, she got a house, but she's living in the dining room, bed in the dining room, everything she got in clothes in the dining room. She can't even go in the front room because you thugs are sitting out front playing loud music, shooting pistols, smoking dope, and cussing her out. But then you want to get upset because somebody white comes through the neighborhood and throw the N-word out. Let's go on, right is right. Let's go on and get real about it. If we're going to call out everybody else's dirt, let's lay ours out there too. There's a difference between righteous anger. You can have that righteous anger. But when you're counterproductive to your own message, it doesn't do any good. When you tell the system that I want you to change, when you tell the system that I want you to understand me, when you tell the system I want you to hear me, but they're saying I can't hear you over the gunshot. I can't hear you over the loud music. I can't hear you over the police sirens in your neighborhood. White people are not the cause of every little problem that we have. Well, they're bringing the dope in. Well, who's going to get in and bringing it to the hood? If we didn't bring it in our neighborhoods, then it'd be some white folk person somewhere with a bunch of dope. They're trying to figure out how to unload. But we're going to get it. It's time we step up and say, you know what, if you're not shopping at the stores in your neighborhood, don't come on here and tell me how pro-black you are. If you're not patronizing businesses in your neighborhood, don't tell me how much you care about the black community. If you're not reading to some kids sometime, if you're not giving some time or sitting on the porch with an old lady who probably marched for your right to vote even though you probably don't vote, if you're not even willing to take that time out, don't tell me that you're pro-black and you care so much. We take our money outside our neighborhoods and spend it, and then want to complain we ain't got nothing. If you're one of these folks that got a pair of Jordans on your feet and a raggedy car in the front yard that don't even run, guess what? Your finances are messed up. There's people who will help you. We got to get our priorities right because we're counterproductive to our own message. In our community, and then I'm going to go in, and even in the church, we all need to sit down and say, you know what? There's enough on this plate for all of us to eat.
Come on.
I ain't perfect.
Come on.
You ain't perfect. That white person sitting over there ain't perfect. That Hispanic person ain't perfect. All of us have created this bullshit that we're in. All of us have. We ain't got no time to point fingers and fix the blame. We better fix the problem.
Exactly.
You know, now y'all can chime in. Everybody's mic is open. I'm gonna take a breather.
Yeah. Just to piggyback off what both of you guys are saying, like, we know what issues we have in our community. The problem is nobody wants to speak out against it. Nobody wants to take that initiative to say, hey, we need to change ourselves. I was just at an event yesterday that I was a guest speaker on, and it's called Sister to Sister. So what we're trying to do is get us to change the way we live, change the way our thinking is, change the way we manage our money, and start putting our own finances in our own community to help build each other up. And the problem with that was a lot of people were saying that, oh, well, they don't want to support her. The price too high. But you'd rather go give your money to a corporation, like you said, with no problem. But we're not supporting each other. We have to do better from down to how we treat our kids, how we act towards our kids, to our finances. If we are the number one consumers. Imagine what we could do if we put those same efforts into our own community. And people always got something to say about African Americans, but guess what? It's the system is set up like that to show us there's always negative sight, even though we're not the number one with the crime rate and everything. But it always set up to show us in a negative light. So what we could do is continue to change that step by step. And working with each other. And I feel that the churches definitely should have a major role in that, whether people agree with your belief or not. You still should have a role in showing support to the people. It doesn't matter if they're going to go to your church or not. But you should welcome all anyway. You should stand up for them regardless.
Can I make a point there?
And we want to make sure we do a disclaimer here. And I'm a 20-year vet on being in business. Disclaimers are very important. When we say church, it's two separate entities within the church. We have the actual physical building, then we have the human resources and the actual spirits that come in and out of the building. Some of the people that actually facilitate the funds of the church, I like to call it like the thermometer churches. You've been going to this church for 10 years, and the thermometer is in the back of the church, and it's never grown. You know for good and well you can put your money in, but that red and that thermometer has never got to the $10,000 they need for a building. But you know you've been there for 10 years and dropped $1,000 out of your own hand. Prosperity preached like that, I don't get behind. But I got a brother that's actually doing this thing, and he's actually moving around. He might not have a building, but he has a ministry. The point that I'm making is the church is only as strong as the members, the spirits is there, but we as a people, we get so wrapped up into our titles. Yes, my name is Pastor Donnell Green Jr., but before you put pastor, before I even went to theology school or got ordained or anything, I was Donnell Green Jr. So if somebody come and spit in my face and smack the fire out of me, I'm going to smack them back. I don't turn the other cheek. And the reason why I don't, because I'm a man. I say this to say there are more people out there doing it the wrong way, but it's not the church. It's the people that's up under them. If the leader is not right, anybody that follows after that is not right. If you look at a family household, if the two parents don't have their stuff together, 9 times out of 10, the kid is going to be a heathen. But if it's a broken, disenfranchised household where the government is going to give the family more money because the man is not there, where there's no leadership, and then when the sisters are raising these babies where they don't have no leadership and they get these guys, it's 2 times their size. The mother becomes a live-in slave like Beirut. And my point that I'm making is it's not just the church, it's the whole environment. And it's not just one thing where we're going to sweep up under the rug. It's us having these healthy dialogues so we as a people can understand that everybody's responsible for policing their own house. And if you start within a 2,400 square feet radius first, and then you think of the trillion people on the world, we will change the world like that. With that being said, I'm moving out the way, Officer Stan. You got it.
Now, you know what, Pastor, I agree with you, but I think in the black community, one of the reasons the church doesn't get a pass is because we saw the church do more under more trying conditions under the civil rights struggle. That is where most of us learned our social skills, where most of us learned how to dress, where most of us learned how to act in public, where most of us learned how to have manners. See, the church used to do all that when I was little. See, the church became a business. Hello, let's go and get to it.
Then yeah, you're right. That's correct.
And
I'm not saying that. You're right.
Somebody got gator shoes, and somebody else had to have some. Today, we got churches that have ministries that they fly into Africa to do things, and that's fine and good. But if you got Oak Cliff sitting right next to you, and you flying over Oak Cliff to go to Africa to feed people, and you got hungry people right here, that's where you lose your credibility in the community. You know, with the churches, we can look at our stores. And I brought this up before, and what the sister said is exactly right. And a perfect example is, I don't care for damn if it's Philadelphia, Chicago, D.C., L.A. Let me put me in the hood, and I go to that local store. I'll tell you what I'm going to find in there. Malt liquor, cheap wine, cigarettes, cigars, drug paraphernalia, and everything you need to do the drugs is right out the back door. Okay? I'll tell you what I'm not going to find. Fresh bread, potatoes, tomatoes, milk, orange juice, fresh vegetables. I'm not going to find that because, you know what, we just want the quick fix. Everything that's in that neighborhood store is detrimental to our health and will kill us, and we willingly
but
go
that,
there. And it's
I'm sorry, though. That's not right. That's not right. You missed one element about that store. That store is not owned by black people that live in that neighborhood that go there every day. That store is owned by Koreans. That store is owned by Mexicans.
No.
Everybody else but the black people that live in that community.
Right, but you know what? I don't care who owns the store and what color they are. If they own that store, and the only reason that store exists is because the people in the neighborhood patronize it. If they didn't patronize it, the store couldn't exist. Now, you got
to not going anywhere else.
Hold on.
How they going to get there? They ain't got no cars. They ain't got no cars. They ain't got no bikes. And then whoever get a car or a bike, somebody going
to
steal it from them.
Walk to that store. If you can walk to that same store and buy all those things that are counterproductive, that are killing you, somebody in there can say, you know what, let's open up a store with some potatoes, with some vegetables, with some of these things that we have been going out of our neighborhood to go to the big grocery stores to buy. Let's buy that here. You can sell all that other stuff if you want to, but at least give the people other things that they can walk to that local store. And oftentimes the people that own these stores in these neighborhoods aren't even from this country. So if they can
yes.
come from another country and set up a store in our neighborhood and sell things that kill us and we patronize it, I'm not going to give anybody a pass who lives in this country that could have the same abandoned building that they opened up and became a store. It was in that neighborhood abandoned, and we just looked at it. Let me go to another caller real quick from the 404 area code. I believe this going to be Robert. What's going on, brother? World 4 area code, 9580. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing today, man? My name is Justin LeBron, man. I'm on here with Pastor Don Jr. with the winning team, and I'm just checking in, and I appreciate the dialogue that's going on.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're in the barbershop now. Come on, throw something in here.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I'm listening to the conversation right now and talking about, you know, what individuals are doing to our community, what's in our community, and I see both sides of the table right now, to be honest with you, from, you know, what Don is talking about, not plugged in kind of late, kind of picking into it, but, you know, about there's no choice, really, you know, that we have in our community, whether we patronize that place or not, they're still going to go, and then at the same time, you know, the individuals do have a responsibility who's actually generating revenue in the community, you know, to say, okay, yeah, you know, there's a repercussion for that. But I think when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, it's just an education. Where's the education,
right,
and who's bringing this education to the forefront? Who's talking about the problem? You know, who's going to the community and putting out flyers saying that, hey, we shouldn't patronize, or if we are going to patronize, then give us some more healthy options. You know, so
there
I think that what we're doing
there
here today, I think what we're doing here today is a start to that. And if we can actually take what we're doing here today and figure out how many people we can get on board to share this information, to share this podcast, to bring everybody on board with that, then I think that's when we start to make an impact. And that's where it comes to the point where the individuals who you know, say they represent our community, where we should be reaching out to those individuals who represent the community. When I say that, that's entertainers, ball players, things of that nature who come from these communities, they should be the ones that are supporting and actually spreading out this podcast.
Exactly. And you know what? And you know, if they got the money, most of them came out of the community. Brother, I agree with you. You know, networking, if we can open up barbershops and beauty parlors and nightclubs and dope houses, guess what? We can open a store. We can open a store. If you can supply a dope house in the dark under running from the law, you can supply a store. If you can drive 5 miles to the big grocery store, you can walk 5 blocks to the neighborhood store. And it will revitalize the neighborhood and make it better.
100%, you know, one of the things that, you know, for me, in my personal mission and ministry is I come from a situation where all I knew was to become successful is to be a drug dealer or be some type of booster, you know, or whatever those regards, because that's where I saw individual money, where they were. And that's why today, you know, I have a gospel ministry where, you know, my songs are about where I come from and what God has instilled into me. So I'm looking for individuals to, you know, go online and check me out, you know, Justin LeBron, and really be able to see that message, because I feel like music is one of the most powerful forms of communication. You know, it's everything. It's everything when it comes down to, you know, when you think about the devil, he was the minister of music. You know, so
yep.
Therefore, he was already in a powerful position. So I feel like if we can take that and understand how powerful music is, and we can turn it into a positive light, then that's when we'll really, you know, go into that zone. So that's really my mission in life, really, is to spread this gospel. I just got off the phone with a young guy that shoots videos by the name of Mike Lee, and this guy's amazing at what he does. He shot one of my videos, and, you know, we and him was just kind of, you know, going back and forth with where he's like, I'm so sick. He's like, I'm so sick of shooting videos with individuals who are influencing individuals in a negative light. He's like, my passion and what God has given me is to shoot these videos, but I don't know whether I'm in the right lane right now. You know, he's like, I need to do something different. And it's a shame that someone who God has blessed with his talent is trying to deter, but that's why I want to work with individuals like him, you know, in my area, in Atlanta, to build our ministry, to be able to spread positive words. Because once we start really on this mission, man, once people start hearing this and seeing it, and they see it in a way that is entertaining, they see it in a way that's prosperous, that's when we start to change people's minds.
You know what? Amen, brother. Tell you what, right quick, put your information out where people can find you.
No, definitely. They can find me on Instagram at The Real J LeBron. They can definitely go on YouTube and check out my video, All the Dream. All you got to do is put in J LeBron or Justin LeBron. That's my government, Justin LeBron, and they'll be able to find me. So that's my tagline right there.
All right, because we're always lifting up and supporting, man. I mean, share all this and get it out there, because like I said, what we do here, we have hard talk here, but this is all about solutions. This isn't about black folks or white folks. It's about here, you're going to get the hard talk here. Nobody gets it now. You know, we're going to keep it real here, man. We're getting down to the end, so what I'm going to do is we do what I call the roll call. And I go down through, and everybody that's called in, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. You can talk about anything that you want to talk about that's important to you. And that's kind of out of respect for you calling in on the topic and weighing in. So anything that's important to you, you get to talk about. I'm going to start with my 414 area code 0432. You got 2 minutes. Whatever's good for you, throw it out there. Let the world hear. You there? The 414 area code 0432.
Oh, I'm right here. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I said,
2 minutes. Anything you want.
I just wanted to let everybody know we have powers in numbers. So even if it's one store, one gas station in that neighborhood, we still can shut that down. We still can take our business somewhere else, because we should not have to give our money to these people who are treating us bad. And we need everybody in the community, whether it's the church, whether it's the community leaders or the people. We need everybody to start working together and uniting. And I would like to say that our show is Silent Words Unleashed. So if you want, you guys want to come on there and state your opinion or talk about certain subjects, or even come out and promote yourself, you're welcome to come on our show as well.
There you go. Tell them, give them the hours on it. Give them the hours.
Okay, I gotta get the number. So we are on Tuesdays, and it will be 9 a.m. my time and 10 a.m. the Central Time. And our number on our show is 347-855-8358. So that's the Robert Drakes Network, and you're welcome to come on our show and help. We're always talking about what's going on in the community. And neither one of us are police officers. We have our opinion, but we always refer to them to Behind the Blue Curtain because he'll give you more details. So that we network with each other, and we talk about all these issues, and we're trying to get people to deal with each other and try to support each other. And as far as Robert MVP, he is a great motivator, self-work. He's embedding that in these kids what he works a job for. And this is what he do. He goes out in the community, tries to work with the church ministry to help get these kids in these programs that will best fit their needs. So we need to continue that type of thing, that type of style with each other.
All right. Look here, you know, I appreciate the call, and you know, I know you're always there supporting us because that's what we do. We take care because we all need each other on here, and everybody is spreading the same message in different ways, but it all comes together. It's like a salad. You know, you got all these different combinations, but they come together, and you go put some dressing on it, it's all going to the same place.
Amen.
I'm gonna drop down to my 818 area code. 2 minutes, anything you want. Throw it out there.
Before I say my spiel, I apologize to you, sister. And I didn't get to hear your name, and I didn't get to hear your actual contact number. So if you could reach out to me direct, send me a text message with that information. My direct number is 818-358-5722, 818-358-5722. That's my direct line. It's 365-24-24, like every day we up. First off, let me just say, Stan, this is just a wonderful platform. I really appreciate everything you've been doing for the winning team behind the scenes and front of the scenes and all the 25 years of being out there on the front line. The winning team is a collective of 300 individuals. Our whole purpose and objective is to bring forth resources where there is none. Operation Brightside, changing negatives into positive, being effective with our limited resources, working together to bring forth change. I am Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'm here to help the individuals become moguls. I'm here to help people understand your gift, your talent, your brand, your business, your product, your service. You're going to need people to help you, and you're going to need to be able to present yourself to other people. What makes you different is what God gave you, and what my job is me on the matrix, is to pull out the best of you. You're already 98% of where you're supposed to be. When you get with the winning team as a collective, you're a diamond. We all cutting, washing, cutting, washing, cutting, washing, so it could be that diamond you see in the K Jewels commercial. That diamond that comes out the mines in Africa is not the diamond you see. So I say all that to say, this is a powerful movement, and it's not our movement, it's your movement, but you all have been sent here, and we all put here to all get back forth to God. That's why one hand washes the other. That's why everything is binary code, ones and zeros. We are in it for change. I want you to reach out to me. Tell me you heard me on the show. Ask me questions. Ask me comments. Visit our website, EWWNradio.com. Our broadcast network goes out to 1.5 million listeners. We have 25 AM and FM radio markets running rebroadcasts of our programming. We have over 300 running team members, and the ones who don't know what's going on in the world, that feel like you can't make it, call me personally. We can get you a job. We send people out of town to make $400 to $200 per week, knocking on doors, selling products direct. My direct line is 818-358-5722. I appreciate each and every last one of you. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. You can Google me on any social network. We have 5,000. That's DONJRCEO. I want y'all to have a powerful, blessed day. And remember, Jesus is the light of the world, and he's waiting on you. I'm out.
All right, Pastor Don, appreciate you, man. Much love. I'll holler at you in a little bit. All right, 404 area code 9580. 2 minutes, brother. Anything you want, man. Go ahead. Hype yourself.
First and foremost, I definitely appreciate you guys having this platform put together. And I just kind of really want to piggyback on what the young lady said and also what Pastor Don Jr. said. When it comes down to it, I think that we should definitely be focusing on the youth. First and foremost, because as Pastor Don talked about, you know, those diamonds, our youth, they're the diamonds that are coming out of Africa. One of the things I will tell you is that I remember when my grandmother, she stopped smoking because when I was a kid, I said, Grandmother, you're smoking. If you continue to smoke, you're not going to be there when I get big. And I probably was about 7 years old. So when you act, when you look at that and we start to change the mind of the youth, which is why I have my music ministry, because music is a powerful form, as I was speaking about, if we start to change the mind of the youth, first and foremost, they'll start questioning the adults and they'll be convicted as if you're convicted by God to be able to do the more godly and more spiritual thing, the wise thing, to be able to create a better ambiance in the world for us. So, you know, I appreciate the platform. Once again, my name is Justin LeBron. You can find me on Instagram at The Real J LeBron. You can go to my website at justinlebron.com. You can go on YouTube and check out my content. All you got to do is put in Justin LeBron, and you'll find me. Google my video, All a Dream. And I really appreciate the platform, guys. So anything you guys need, I'm here, artist consulting. I'm here for business consulting. I'm here to develop music. I'm here to be a light to the world. You guys have an awesome, blessed day.
All right, brother. Spell your last name for them so they make sure they get it right.
LeBron. That's LABRON. So you can find me at Justin, JUSTIN, and that's LeBron, LABRON. Nothing like LeBron James. That's LABRON.
All right, man. I appreciate you. Thank you for calling in. You know, this time I'm not even going to be long, man. We've covered so much on here today. You know, a few shout-outs to my big sister, Cynthia Mason-Posey. She's with a bunch of the family at a reunion. I couldn't get to it. Got brother Nick Novello just popped on, and on the Facebook Live, I got to give a shout-out to my wife, Michelle. She's home in the big ATL with her family. Love you, sweetie. And, yes, Lolly, her little Yorkie, is fine. She's laying over there listening. Shout-out to all my homeboys in Harrisburg, my homegirls, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Love you guys. And, of course, the people here in Waco and the Facebook Live people that support me and stand by me and believe in me. And, you know, we're all learning this stuff together. And like I said, you know, it's hard talk, but it's all love talk. You know, we're nobody's without blame in this. You know, I don't know everything, and I appreciate all you guys that keep me caught up and send me messages and keep me up to date. Because I don't miss a lot of it. And I'm slow getting back to you guys sometime on social media because I try to get some sleep and get up and go to work and try to respond when I can. But even if I hit you a day or 2 days later, if it's from me, it's me. You know, nobody else is answering anything for me. So I appreciate you guys. We're going to get ready to get out of here. Much love. Appreciate everybody that tuned in, participated. Facebook Live crew, as always. Showing up, you guys can share all my stuff at stanmason.com. It's all there. It's on the Facebook. And the new website should be up this week. Myself and Pierre, my agent, looked at it, and that new website is awesome. It's awesome. Y'all see the one I got now. We're getting ready to go high speed with the new one. So appreciate you guys. Love you guys. Be careful. Have a good weekend. No drinking and driving. No baby mama drama. Stay out of jail. You know, if you get pulled over, just go with the flow. Don't argue on the side of the road. You know, we all need to meet back here next week and be able to talk about solving problems, not trying to get over some new ones we created. Love you guys. Everybody have a good weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.